Okay, the next question, which is for Carol, is really at the heart of our topic here tonight, and it is the following. The Ryan White Program has supported the development of a model of care that has carried us, of course, through the worst days of the crisis. We've built systems of care in rural and urban environments that are serving uninsured and underinsured people living with this disease. When the coverage expansion under health care reform takes place in 2014, the magic year we've been talking about, will the Ryan White Program still be needed? Carol.
So I have the easiest question. Of course it will be. That's it. thank you very much.
Next.
of course it will be. There are still so many unknowns. The coverage that will vary from state to state, the content of the of not only the expansion of Medicaid, but the content of the high-risk pools and as that varies from state to state. So there's a lot of unknowns, and we need to make sure that we maintain the high quality of care, both for HIV care as well as comorbidities that the Ryan White care system has developed over the last nearly three decades. We have to be particularly vigilant in maintaining and preserving Ryan White dollars because, as someone later I'm sure will talk about, there are external forces that pop up that we're not aware of, economic crises, real estate crises that then trickle down to ADAP crises that that totally really run the risk of impacting on large numbers of patients. We have to remember that Ryan White is and will continue to be the payer of last resort. So as larger numbers of patients are eligible for Medicaid, that is an insurer that has unacceptable rates. And so that we're just enrolling more and more numbers in an unacceptable payer. And so that we need to make sure that Ryan White programs are maintained and Ryan White programs Ryan White funding is continued so that that whole complement of providers that includes the nurses and the pharmacists and the peer counselors are maintained in our care systems, and that we do not dismantle, as Andrea said earlier, inadvertently dismantle an excellent care system because of what was perceived to be increasing people's access to coverage. We know that some services will be included in the packages, such as mental health services, but we don't know what that really means. We don't know what level, what number of visits, what type of providers, and how easily accessible those providers will be. And I can speak about the Part D programs, the programs that I'm most familiar with. And we know that the successes of the Part D and other Ryan White programs are the coordinated comprehensive care systems that get and keep people in care who are the most vulnerable and also the most at risk for lapsing in care. And the types of services that Ryan White has provided over the years, such as peer services, such as mental health and substance abuse services, family-friendly care, youth-friendly care, they're only going to be needed increasingly as the national HIV-AIDS strategy is rolled out and our expanded testing and expanded numbers are entering the system, and they'll be entering the system under Medicaid. So we're kind of like, if we don't maintain Ryan White, we're kind of entering a perfect storm here, where we're having increased numbers of patients from increased testing, and these are the patients who are in that most vulnerable first year of 2 years of diagnosis, where you really need that peer support, where you really need that those support services, the transportation services. You really need that extra oomph to get engaged in care and stay in care. And again, speaking from a Part D perspective, where many Part D patients have increased access, increased ability for insurance because of the fact that they are women, pregnant women, and children. And those of us in the Part D programs know for years that increased insurance doesn't equal access. Just because you have an insurance card doesn't mean that you will get and stay in care. I recently was at a meeting in Little Rock and heard from a woman there who was a Part D patient, and she talked about how if she didn't have the transportation assistance and even though she had state-funded insurance, If she didn't have the transportation assistance and the child-friendly care that was at her clinic, she wouldn't go to care. That if she had to tell her mother or her sisters that she needed child care and she needed a ride to clinic, she wouldn't go, and she wouldn't get on her medications, and she just wouldn't be in care. She was still so fearful of disclosing to her family that that the HIV diagnosis, that she would prevent herself, that she would deny herself care. And I just don't think by 2014 we're going to be much further along the stigma line than we are right now. I mean, each year we get a little better, but I think by 2014, by 2020, we're still going to be dealing with those issues that need that extra support. So to think that HIV, people living with HIV can by 2014 be mainstream into a chronic care model, and that Medicaid and routine visits at routine care sites will be adequate for all is just not the reality of the most of the HIV patients that I know, and I think that seeing people nod their heads is the reality that we know. I'd like it to be so. I'd like HIV to be mainstreamed. I'd like it to be normalized, and I think we need to work towards that, but we're, at least in my reality, we're not going to be there in 2014. So all of the support services, that the extra services, as well as making up for the woefully inadequate Medicaid reimbursement rates to allow for comprehensive care, are really important and will need to be maintained through 2014, and I would venture to say through 2020 and beyond. In addition to maintaining, and this kind of ties into what the last two participants were talking about, in addition to making sure that we work really hard to maintain Ryan White, 2013 reauthorization is going to be really tough. It's going to be really tough in many ways. It's going to be tough because, first of all, we'll be in a lot of unknown territory. In addition, we'll be banging up against people who think that we no longer need to exist because everything's going to be taken care of by this, by then, still undefined or ill-defined cure-all. So I would also say that we need to really work on not only maintaining Ryan White, but helping our grantees think about what other opportunities are available in the Affordable Care Act. There are numerous potential opportunities, none of which are very well defined yet, as Ernest pointed out, so getting involved in helping to define those. And even those that are, such as the Medicaid reimbursements for medical home model, we need to help our grantees really prepare for that. There are, as the others have alluded to, there's a number of opportunities that are described in the Affordable Care Act, such as the Innovation Center that's looking at health systems and innovative ways to provide care and provide financing. There's a patient navigator component in the Affordable Care Act that we need to learn about and help to define. Where individuals, are those individuals going to be RNs? Now, I happen to think RNs are pretty good, but could they also be peers? So how do we help to define that patient navigator, that whole piece of the Patient Navigator Act? There's a component about comprehensive care teams that will be care teams that go into the communities, multidisciplinary teams. I mean, it sounds great, but it sounds great. It's six sentences. So we know that it has to be much more defined than that, and we have to be involved in helping to define that. These programs are going to be administered at the state level, and so we need to get involved at the state level at making sure that, A, our states are aware of that and apply for these. These are all applications that state entities have to go after. And so I do think that the clock is ticking very slowly, and it's going to be one of those things that just drag on until then it gets so fast we can't keep up. And so not only in the planning, but in the application for it. So one of the things that AIDS Alliance has done, and I would encourage the rest of you here to think about this too, is to start reaching out to our colleagues at HRSA, not only about getting involved in the defining of how these programs are going to be, but also in now starting to request programs that provide technical assistance for the grantees so that they can apply for these once they're defined. We can't wait until they're defined to then have the technical assistance provided to apply for them, including something right now, the Medicaid medical home. That's something that is familiar to the Part D programs because it's a comprehensive care system, but the certification for that is much, much, much more onerous. and complicated than what the current Part D comprehensive care programs are. And so we need to call on HRSA to allow us to have technical assistance to allow sites, grantees, to apply for either the current programs like that or to be ready to apply for the programs once they get more well-defined. So I think we have two fronts that we have to be working very hard on. One is maintaining the current Ryan White funding stream to fill in the gaps and be the payer of last resort. And then the other is to be fully involved in the defining of these new opportunities and then making sure that our grantees get the proper training, technical assistance opportunities to apply for them, and that they're, whether they be at the state level or at the individual institutional level.
Okay.
So that's it.
Excellent. So we all agree that we need to maintain Ryan White funding.